B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
The Patriots have received word of one positive COVID-19 test, and they are awaiting confirmation of a possible second positive test. They were supposed to be on the practice field at 1 o'clock Eastern time. They've called off the practice as well as player interviews that were scheduled after the practice. They had been out on the practice field yesterday for the first time this week, and they had felt good about that because Cam Newton, Stephon Gilmore were back on the practice field for the first time after having officially come off the COVID-19 reserve list.
All right, it's Groundhog Day again, everybody. Welcome in, 98.5 The Sports Hub. I'm Christian Arcan. No Murray or Gasper today, which means you got myself sitting in Big Jim's chair, and over in the Gasper seat, of course, the man, the myth, the legend, the guy
please.
We don't hear enough of, really, on these airwaves.
Appreciate it.
That is Leroy Irvin. You may have recognized that voice from the morning show over there, 96.9,
yes,
joining us here this Saturday. Leroy, good to see you.
Man,
it's been a while.
Good to see you, too. It's been a while. I know the last time I was here, you was getting ready for a big day.
That's right.
A big day.
And for some reason, she decided to go through with it, and that all happened. So, yeah, things are different.
The
world's not that much different. Still in the same crappy world we were in before, but there is football now. And, I guess maybe we should hold up on saying that just yet, because I feel like we're still in a holding pattern here. I think they're going to play this game tomorrow. You think they're going to play?
Yeah, because it's becoming embarrassing.
Right.
That's pretty much it. But yeah, I think they'll play tomorrow.
Okay, here's what we know so far. This is all we really know, is that Troy Rank from Channel 7 out in Denver, Denver 7, said the Broncos, he said this last night, Broncos expect to know early Saturday morning if the game is on. They're scheduled to fly around 11:30 a.m. That's 1:30 our time. It's probably now that they're getting the news, whatever the news is, of when they're going to travel.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd know before that. Also, Melvin Gordon's been given medication for illness. If he's feeling okay and is cleared medically, he will travel. We found out this morning that Melvin Gordon will not travel. That guy, that's a 3-day hangover, man. I mean, that's Melvin Gordon's in his 20s.
Yep.
I understand getting hungover for 3 days when you're my age.
Right.
You know, I'm 38. You're around my age.
Yep.
Hangovers hit differently now, depending on what you're drinking, I guess.
Right.
But Melvin Gordon, I mean, he was, from what we understand, I read the story about it. He said he was out in Denver,
uh-huh,
and he was drinking wine with some friends, driving around, and got popped for a DUI. But that was 3 days ago.
You know what it could be?
What?
An edible.
Could be
He's
an edible.
He's just not mentioning. He's not letting people know it could be an edible.
Edibles wear off before 3 days, though.
I don't know. He might have taken too much, and them things can last for a long time. I mean, I'll just be honest. I've been there.
You've been there,
yes. Been there.
Well, sure. Here's the other thing is Melvin Gordon's kind of new to Denver,
yeah,
you know, because he didn't play he was new this year. The altitude out there, you get more drunk, or if you're having an edible, you get more of that. I mean, it hits you faster because there's not as much oxygen, you know, going to your brain. I lived out there for a long time. I went to school in Boulder.
So this is a fact.
It's a fact.
Wow.
It's a fact of life. You get used to, you know, partying out there. You come back here and it's like,
I feel like you're messing with me.
I'm not. I swear to God.
I'm about to look this up.
That is a true statement. The altitude in Colorado.
Uh-huh.
And the reason why I know this, because we used to throw concerts there back in my old radio days. We'd put on these concerts and these musicians would just want to party in Colorado and they would get too messed up and they couldn't perform. That happened a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. That had the Game, the rapper, the Game.
Yeah.
Had to leave the stage. Modest Mouse, you probably don't know that, but Modest Mouse is his band. Had to leave the stage.
Wow.
It was brutal. It was great, though.
Wow.
It was really funny.
That's what's
anyway,
up.
That could be what's going on with Melvin Gordon. I don't know exactly what's going on with the Patriots here. Mm-hmm. We know that there was one positive test yesterday. We think it was James Ferentz, but we don't actually know that because there was a follow-up tweet. I forget who, I think it was Pelissero, said that they're waiting on status of another potential positive test that hadn't been confirmed yet. All of this sort of started with this kid, Brian Spagnuolo, Spagnoli, who writes for Pat's Pulpit, who said, I hear that there's more Patriots positives coming down the pike today. So all credit to him. All credit to Spags there for breaking the story. He was ahead of everybody. He was ahead of Reese and Schefter and everyone. And he put that one out there. So props to him. But I still feel like there's some pieces missing from the story that we don't quite fully understand yet. And what that is for me, number one, is who was around Ferentz. They practiced on Thursday. They didn't practice on Wednesday, Leroy. But this is a fun thing to try and follow. They didn't practice Wednesday. They had a workout.
Yep.
But they put out an injury report for if they had practiced Wednesday. And Ferentz was on that injury report as a non-participant because of a non-injury-related reason.
Right, so you can do the math on your own. Yeah.
But then he practiced on Thursday. So they're saying if there wasn't, but if there was a practice on Wednesday, he wouldn't have practiced because of non-injury reasons. But then he's out there practicing on Thursday, and then on Friday, he's got a positive COVID test. Like, what? What? Well, I still feel like that's all just sort of been like, yeah, well, that just happened. No big deal. Like, wait a minute. Can we please just go over this timeline a little bit closer?
Right, like, but didn't the league just come out, was it Thursday or Friday, they were saying it's kind of like mandatory that if you have COVID symptoms and you tested negative, you still had to you have to step away from the team?
Yeah.
So it could be something where you're right on it. He probably had it. Or had symptoms, tested negative, but then it came back positive the next day, and the league knows about it, and they're like, look, we gotta do something about this. So you could be on to something. He might have had it.
Yeah, I mean, he very well could have, and there was also, on that Wednesday practice that didn't actually happen, the hypothetical practice, another offensive lineman, Jermaine Illuminor, was on the list for non-injury-related reasons, too. He might be the other, and I know they have to test him twice, and then they confirm it the second time, so maybe that's what they're waiting on. He tripped the positive the first time. They're waiting on the confirmation. I know that happened with Newton and with Gilmore. I think that happens with everybody when something like that goes down, but maybe that's what they're waiting on today. Ben Volen tweeted a couple hours ago that the Patriots are back in their facility. Walk through today, meetings tonight. Still on track for 1 p.m. kickoff Sunday against the Broncos. If Illuminor tested positive, I can't imagine they would do all that, right?
Right.
Because Bill Belichick may be a guy who likes to find ways around certain things, you know? It's kind of.
I don't think that's the case.
I'm not saying that's the case right now.
All right.
I mean, they did have a COVID plane fly to Kansas City, so you tell me.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, that may not be the case right here. I do think that the Patriots are trying to do everything right here, but it's still, I mean, there's only a couple of teams that have had this problem, and the Patriots are one of them.
Mm.
And I do sort of feel, we've been talking about this on the night show, there's this weird persecution complex around here. Why is the league doing this? How could the league do this? It's like, the league didn't give you COVID.
Right.
You got COVID somehow. I'm not saying, you know, that they did anything wrong to get it, but that's the case. I mean, you could have done what the Titans did and held practices that were illegal and stuff like that, and that would have been way worse. I think that would have been much worse than what the Patriots are guilty of, which we're still not even really sure. The only thing I think that they're guilty of is being a little bit hypocritical when they come out and say that health and safety was the number one thing. Because if that was the number one thing that they cared about, they wouldn't have put Gilmore and everybody else who was around Cam Newton onto a separate COVID plane and fly him to Kansas City.
Well, unless we find out that the NFL is putting them in a tough position where it's like, you guys agreed to this, so you have to make this happen. There is no way that we're going to cancel this. You might as well throw that out the door. Make it happen, and we'll deal with it from there. That's kind of how I feel, and I kind of get that sense, especially with the players talking about how Bill Belichick has done a phenomenal job when it comes to dealing with COVID. Mm-hmm. It's almost like they have his back, and maybe the league is acting funny. Didn't Jason McCourty say the league just doesn't care?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so, I mean, I will.
He said the union doesn't care either.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
so
was,
I think it's more on the union and the league. But Belichick and the Patriots, they're doing the best they can. And I know people are going to probably, oh, you're just a homer. But it seems that way. This is something that we've never or any team has ever had to deal with. And here we are. And I think they're doing the best they can.
Well, all the teams are dealing with it right now.
Right.
And only the Patriots, the Titans, and it's pretty much it, are the only ones that are having this trouble. And I think the Patriots are doing their best to sort of limit it. It's not like there was a big outbreak. Four players, five now, I guess, if Illuminor is another one. And that's certainly not the Titans. The Titans had 11 players and like 13 coaches all get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went and played the game without those 11 players, and they kicked the Bills' ass. I mean, the Bills were undefeated, and the Titans beat them up. I mean, that was, and I watched that and was like, huh, okay. Well, I guess the Patriots could have done that with the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
They could have just said, all right, you guys were around Newton. You're all on the COVID list. You can't go to Kansas City,
right,
and we'll just play with somebody else. We'll play with the guys off the practice squad. They could have done that. And I understand they didn't break any rules. They were allowed to have that COVID plane, which, by the way, the league came out and said, no more COVID planes, guys. Sorry. We think that COVID plane's probably not a good idea. Maybe we shouldn't do that anymore if we're going to talk about health and safety. But I just sort of think that that was, I don't know, a little bit of crosstalk there. You can't come out and say the number one priority is health and safety and then put everybody on a COVID plane. Like, that doesn't square up. Even if you're not breaking any rules, it's not really about the rules, you know? That's not really what it's about. And now, by the way, here we are again, 2 weeks later,
right,
and we're still maybe going to, you know, we had to postpone the last game, and now we're waiting on another test here to see if this game's going to happen.
Right.
And I think it's going to. I was more worried about it last night when that second one was sort of hanging over everything, but I think that'll happen. We should know in about 2 hours for sure that the Broncos are coming here.
Yeah, I'm still willing to look past the Pats as far as pointing the finger at them. My thing is, take for instance, we had the Colts supposedly, and then it came back that the tests were negative. I believe the Jaguars this morning,
practice squad player.
And it's like, all right, I'm looking at the NFL like if the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NHL, for the most part, can do a very good job. Why is there so much confusion with the NFL all the way down to the testing? Christian, do you remember hearing the NBA saying, well, someone tested positive today and then they were negative the next day? I'm just like, where is this coming from? This is very confusing, NFL. Something, there's chaos. It's out of order and they need to get it together.
Yeah. Because there's no way to really pin this all down. The NBA and the NHL, they had much different environments for all of this. Major League Baseball didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And did you say you think Major League Baseball did a great job? Because
I don't think
they did a great job at all.
In comparison to the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about baseball is they had sort of a fail-safe because they can play doubleheaders.
That's true.
NFL can't play doubleheaders. And there was a time in the season where every single team had played like 20 games and the Cardinals had played five.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
true.
It wasn't like everything was all smooth sailing for Major League Baseball. They're obviously doing better now and they're almost done with their season, but you know, they were outside the bar. They didn't play a full year. They just played 2 months. The NFL's trying to do 17 weeks of this, no bubble, everybody just out living their lives in their various, you know, respective cities. And I mean, listen, we're a month into this, a little more. Do you feel like this is going to get better? Do you think that things are going to improve?
No, I don't. I think it's going to get worse.
If it gets much worse, they're going to run out of weeks, you know?
True.
Yeah.
But I also don't understand why people laugh at the idea of the NFL trying to come up with a bubble. It's automatically said, oh, it's not possible. Mm-hmm. They can't do it. They've got way more players than, let's say, the NBA and this. But
well, that's true.
It's true. But if it's been preached to us that the NFL is the standard, and that the NFL is so far above all these other leagues, why can't they figure it out? Why isn't it possible to say, maybe we don't complete all the games. Maybe we take some time off, we reduce the season, the number of games, and maybe come up with a bubble. Because right now, everyone, well, I'm not going to say everyone, I'm laughing at the league like, you guys look a mess. And it's very frustrating as a fan to wake up every single day and you find out, well, this team might not, this team's out, this team has to postpone, this one's testing positive, oh, we're sorry, it was actually negative. It's just taking away from the game. Christian, when you watched the Pats versus KC, did you roll your eyes like, I'm not really taking this serious?
After Brian Hoyer forgot how many timeouts he had, yes,
Even before the game started.
Yeah, it was not very competitive.
Right.
It was a boring game. It was a crappy game. No one scored any points for like three quarters.
Right.
I mean, no one got in the end zone, I guess. But I didn't care for that game. I don't think tomorrow's game is going to be all
exactly
that compelling either. It's
That's
the Broncos.
Right.
Who cares? But, you know, that doesn't mean that the league shouldn't go on and that they shouldn't try and play their season. The only thing that really upsets me is, and I think that this is sort of a common frustration with football fans, is that they got to see the NBA, the NHL, and Major League Baseball go from start to finish.
That's
and
right.
I know baseball's almost done here, but they saw all the trials and tribulations that those leagues went through, everything that worked and everything that didn't work, and I feel like the NFL learned nothing.
They learned nothing
from any of the other leagues, and we'll get into that a little bit next. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Arcand and Irvin in for Gasper and Murray right here on the Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, Arcan in for Murray, Leroy Irvin in for Gasper. Nice to have you with us here today. We're with you until 2:30. We hand it off to Notre Dame Louisville, I think it is. Yeah, right? Okay, yeah, that's college football we got going on today. There's also a very important college football game today. Maybe the most important college football game of all time. I'm not talking about Alabama-Georgia, folks. No, no, no. I'm talking about something different. We'll get into that a little bit later. But in the meantime, we were discussing the NFL and exactly what's going on here with all this. And it kind of seems like the Patriots, to me, Leroy, are in a bit of a corner here. It's not the exact situation as last weekend, but it's not that much different. It's pretty close.
Right.
And the players last weekend kind of flexed their muscles and said, hey, you know what? You're going to endanger us. You're going to do all this when we have positive tests still going on and everything else and that whole thing in Kansas City. We're not going to play, you know. We're not going to subject ourselves to this. And everyone sort of said, hey, good for the Patriots for standing up for themselves. Mm-hmm. Good for them to sort of standing up to the league. Well, if they play tomorrow, then what? I mean, Ferentz practiced Thursday, mm-hmm. not Friday. He practiced on Thursday. He wouldn't have practiced on Wednesday if they had had one, but he was there yesterday, and then he tests positive on Friday. So how's that any different from last weekend, and why should the Patriots play this game if they didn't play last weekend?
Because at the end of the day, the NFL is in control, and they do not care about health issues. It's the bottom line. It's money, and they can't miss out. Mm. And that's all that it is. You know, you would like to think that family members of NFL players and the players themselves, their health would matter, and I think it does to some degree. But money, it just always overpowers that stuff, and that's right. What it comes down to.
Yeah, I think you're right. We were talking about how the NFL really hasn't learned anything from the other leagues, in particular Major League Baseball, who I think they have the most to learn from, because I agree, it's not really all that feasible to try and put an entire football league into a bubble. I think that would have been really tough. They would have had to maybe do regional bubbles, Southeast, Northeast, whatever, if they wanted to do it. And I think that would have involved building, like, Olympic villages and crap and having, all these facilities and doctors and hospitals and all that stuff right on the campus. And that's a big undertaking. Maybe next year I think they may have to look at it, because – kind of have a feeling this isn't going to be the last plague we have here.
Right, right.
I don't know why. I just have a feeling it's going to be the new normal, unfortunately. But either way, whether that's the case or not, the NFL could have learned a lot more from Major League Baseball than they did even. Mm-hmm. And baseball only played for 2 months, and they had some big problems. But they did seem to get it under control, and it seems like football is having those exact same problems.
Yeah, my belief is we shouldn't give the NFL a pass. I feel like, okay, maybe it is difficult to separate all the teams and have these multiple bubbles, but why can't they sit down and figure things out? I understand that the players in the NFL met and they agreed to do this, but you can't tell me that, Christian, if you and I have an agreement and it's something that over something that we've never faced before, and while we're in the midst of it, there are some things that happen and it makes us kind of look bad. What's wrong with me going to you or you coming to me and say, hey, listen, we might have to go sit down at the table again and try to figure this out? That's all I'm saying. It's just really the arrogance of the NFL.
Stop the year, stop the season.
You know what? I would. Maybe. Why not? The NBA did it.
A lot of money at stake if you do that.
I understand that, but it's also not just the health, but then the perception of you being out of control or not being able to run things well.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
I know.
You don't want that perception. You don't want the NFL to be known as the league that dropped the ball more than the other three major sports in America.
The NFL has dropped the ball on many, many things, whether it's concussions and CTE or, I don't know, domestic violence or child abuse or whatever it is. They managed to drop the ball on pretty much every real world topic that comes up with them, and I'm sure that this is not going to be any different. Here's one thing that I'm still confused about, is that the NFL, when they came out with their protocols and everything else, they said there's going to be positive tests. You know, we're expecting it. There's no way to keep it out completely. We're anticipating that there's going to be some positive tests. It's like, you know, designer clothes. They make them so expensive because they know people are going to steal them. So it's right. Like we jack the price up because we know there's going to be theft. That's basically what the NFL said. We know there's going to be we know that there's going to be positive tests, and we're going forward understanding that, and we believe that our plan will account for that and make it so it doesn't completely throw the whole season off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. There's been a couple positive tests with the Patriots, and you had to change 8 games in 1 week.
Right.
That one thing with the Patriots, and I guess with the Titans and the Bills too, but just two teams dealing with a couple of positive tests. I know the Titans had 11, but for the Patriots, it's 4 or 5. That completely threw everything into bedlam. I mean, no one knew what to do. No one knew when the game was going to be played. They're putting games on Tuesday. They're doubling up on Monday. They're switching all these games. 8 games got affected. They had to redo the entire schedule.
Right.
And that was just for one team. Imagine if it was 3 or 4 teams with a couple, 2 or 3 positive tests here and there right before the game, and they don't know what to do. So my question to the NFL is this. If you say that you are anticipating positive tests, how come you look so unprepared to deal with what the Patriots had happen to them?
Because I don't think they anticipated this. And this is a little bit more than they expected. So, again, that's why I say, what's wrong with going back to the table and trying to figure it out? It just doesn't make sense to me. I think all fans would have, and maybe even sponsors and things, they would have an understanding that we are living in a time that we've never seen before.
Right.
And so adjustments, even though it may take some money out of your pocket, we might need to just pause for a second and try to figure it out. Stop giving the NFL a pass on that and just making it seem like there's nothing they can do. Like my man KG said, anything's possible. Relax and figure it out.
Yeah, I'd like to think that they could, but they had plenty of time to figure it out before the season started. And I think they already sort of made their bed, you know, in terms of sponsorships, in terms of when these games are going to air, in terms of the broadcast rights with the TV stations and everything else. And the NFL's already taking a bath because they can't have fans in. Right. People aren't buying concessions. They're not buying jerseys, not at the stadiums anyway. And that's a big part of it. I mean, that's a big part of their, you know, income pie is fans going to games and filling up these arenas. And a couple of places, you know, a couple of stadiums in Kansas City, they let in like 2,000. And, you know, down in Jacksonville, a few guys can come in, you know, people can sit there in the luxury boxes, but that's it.
Yeah.
And they're hurting because of that. And now I think they've already kind of painted themselves into a bit of a corner, kind of like how the Patriots have. The NFL is now sort of looking at this going, okay, well, we already made our bet here with this schedule. Mm-hmm. We can either backload it and play all the way to Easter, you know, have a Super Bowl Sunday on Easter Sunday, or we can start forcing these teams to forfeit. And
right.
I think that, you know, if the Patriots, if they had another product, think about what they're saying in Denver. If it was the Denver Broncos who were delaying this game here in New England, we'd all say, all right, well, then just forfeit, Denver. Stop bleeping around and just forfeit the game if you can't get your team out there. And, you know, people are starting to, I think, start thinking that about the Patriots. Right. I was thinking that about the Titans. If you can't put a team out there, then forfeit the game. It was your fault. You guys got COVID. You know, we do have to go on with the season. And I do have some misgivings about them pressing forward, you know, just barreling ahead like they've been doing.
Right.
But I also sort of feel like, well, okay, they did all agree that they were going to do this.
Yeah.
That's part of the agreement. If they feel like they're really unsafe, they could have opted out. You know, that was an option that was on the table. And a lot of Patriots did do that. But I also feel like we're getting just so much double talk from the league and from the teams about how important health and safety is. And they've already sort of proven that it's not.
I think it's a turnoff for a lot of fans, including myself. And what I mean by that is if we are, Christian and I, we work in the same building. If you come down with it, if I come down with it, or if we know someone who comes down with it and we're in close contact with them, what are we supposed to do? Isolate for 2 weeks. But we watch NFL players, and last week or the week before, whatever it was, there was talk of, well, you know, Cam can come back in 10 days. How is it okay for these guys to be able to just, you know, hey, whatever, and then we have to live by certain rules? I know that it's about money. I know that they're athletes, but you want to feel as though the NFL does care about their health and their family's health, and you hear all these different things that just don't apply to us, apply to them. And that's a turnoff.
Yeah.
That's a huge turnoff.
Yeah, no kidding. It's not hurting the ratings so far. NFL ratings are fine, which is more than you can say for some of these other leagues.
Yeah.
We'll get into some of that right after this. 617-779-0985 is the phone number to your phones right after these words.
Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray.
On 98.5, The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Here on the Sports Hub, Arkin in for Murray, Irvin in for Gasper. Yeah. We're with you until 2:30. Nice to have you with us today. Let's go to the phones here. A couple people waiting patiently. We'll get to all your phone calls today, and we will keep the lines open because we are expecting some breaking news. Hopefully it's good. Hopefully it's good. The next couple hours we'll be hearing that the Denver Broncos either have or have not boarded a plane out there at Denver International Airport and flown due east for Foxborough, or for Boston, I guess, is where they'll be landing. Or maybe they'll be landing at PF Green in Rhode Island. They do that sometimes, too. Fly down there to Pride. A little closer, I guess. Right. Although it's not like there's any traffic these days.
Mm-hmm.
Although yesterday, there was a little traffic yesterday in the rain.
Really?
Friday, rain. Yeah, for the most part, I shoot right down here. But yesterday, I had a little bit of traffic. Anyways, let's get to the phone. 617-779-0985. PJ's in the car. Go ahead, PJ.
Hi, hello. I'm not sure if I heard anyone talk about this, but I think the biggest problem with the disqualification is forcing some of the therapy teams to take the win.
Say that again. I'm sorry. Your phone. PJ, hold on. I couldn't quite understand that. The biggest problem with the disqualifications is what?
You know, forcing a team to take a win. Any team that's doing really bad, like the Jets or, you know, the Broncos, not really good themselves. But some teams are trying to, you know, tank for Trevor. Like, if you force them to take a win, they might lose that draft pick.
You know what? I hadn't even thought of that. Mm-hmm. That's a good way to screw up some some bottom-feeding, dumpster-diving team's tank season. Yeah, I hadn't really thought of that. That's true, I guess. If the Patriots had to – let's say the Broncos are trying to tank for Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
And the Patriots can't field the team, so they go ahead and forfeit. Broncos get the win. Now, all of a sudden, they don't get the number one pick anymore.
Yeah, but I never feel sorry for losers.
Yeah, me neither.
You know, if that's your mentality, then you deserve it. So, hey.
Like, did you win? Sorry, you
get
won.
Get out of here with that.
Shut up. Let's go to David in New Hampshire. Go ahead, David.
Yes, guys, I think I have one solution the NFL should do immediately is require all 32 teams to stay in a hotel near their facility. So they still practice in their own facilities, about three, five miles from the hotel, 3 to 5 miles from the stadium. That way they have a control over their players. And nowadays there's so many hotels that empty and closed down. They are more than happy to have a complete buyout of one NFL team to rent the whole hotel for themselves. As a 100 rooms hotel will only cost them $500,000 a month. And they will have a complete control. Each player have their own rooms, and they cannot go outside dining, unfortunately. But if NHL and NBA players can do it, I think 3 months, 3.5 months to have a complete season, I think they can do it.
Yeah, well, David, that's sort of the point. And I was that's a good call, and you make a good point there, and they could certainly do that in New England. They got two hotels right down there at Patriot Place,
right.
And they're great hotels. They're right. There's food, restaurants. There's pretty much everything they need. The only thing is the NBA and the NHL had to do that for 2 months-ish, maybe a little bit more if you were, you know, you went deep into the playoff. But really, it was just about 2, 2.5 months. The NFL season is 17 weeks, not counting the playoffs, and I think that's asking a lot. That's asking a lot. You got to stay in a hotel for 5 months. You can't leave. You can't go home. You can't see your family. You can't do anything. You're just going to be here almost half a year. Like, that's a lot.
But here's my thing. Everyone's having to make some type of sacrifice during this time.
Yeah.
Am I really supposed to feel like, oh, man, they got to stay away from their family for five? Like, am I really supposed to feel upset about that? It's hopefully just one season, maybe two, but it's the safer route to go and just get it. And I'm pretty sure the NFL would allow for family members to come in just like the other leagues did. At some point, they figured things out. They had things going smoothly, and they said, all right, family members can now start coming in. That could be the case. So, I mean, I'm going to keep saying it. I'm not giving the NFL a pass to just do nothing.
I understand they shouldn't do nothing. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be tough to just pull a bubble out of their ass right now. You know, that's going to be a tough thing to just sort of do on the fly in all these different places. Now, mm-hmm. in a place like New Orleans, for example, that stadium's right downtown. Atlanta's right downtown. You know, like there's a lot of places out in New York. The New York teams are out in New Jersey, kind of out in the suburbs. It's probably easier in a place like that than to do it right downtown in the middle of a city.
Right.
Even if you do have people staying in a hotel down in the city, like, probably go out anyway.
You know, exactly.
It's going to be one of those things. You're out in Foxborough, a little bit different. I mean, it's basically just a big mall, you know, a big outdoor mall with a football field next to it. And it's not quite as much as you would do in, you know, Bourbon Street in New Orleans. But I think that it's just that that's asking a lot. That's asking a lot for every single one of these teams to do that. And then every single one of those players and coaches and personnel and everyone, it's thousands of people, are all just going to be in a hotel for 6 months. Like, that's, I don't know. I mean, if they all agree to it, fine.
Yeah.
But that's, and I know people always call in and say, well, what about people in the military? They don't see their family for months and months. Yeah, but they sign up for that.
Right.
No one in the NFL is signing up to stay in a hotel for 6 months. No one signed a contract saying that they would do that. And now maybe that might have to be what it takes in order to protect everybody and do this safely.
Right, right.
But I could also see a lot of football players just saying, bleep this, I'm not doing this.
Well, know? See, that's what I was, because before the season started, they had to agree. Obviously, we know about players who opted out because they weren't in agreement.
Right.
But again, I wonder if players, owners, the organization in general are looking at things and saying, man, we're seeing some stuff we did not anticipate. And just bring it up. Maybe the players won't agree. Maybe the league will, you know, they'll have issues and they'll go back and forth and they'll clash. But and maybe that's already happening and we don't know about it. But from where we sit, it seems like it's not, and it needs to happen.
Yeah, something needs to happen, I think. I mean, unless you really believe, and there's people out there who sort of believe, it's just a one-off, it's just a couple of teams, mm-hmm. no big deal. And if you think about it, they kind of have a point, because there's 32 teams, 30 of them have been fine. 30 of them have had almost no problems at all. Mm-hmm. Aside for, you know, in Jacksonville, that practice squad player, and the Chiefs had their practice squad quarterback that 1 week test positive, but you never saw those guys again. You never saw any other positive tests on those teams. You have some false positives on other teams, but it's really just been Tennessee and New England. But all other 30 teams have managed mm-hmm. to not get into this trouble. And I do think that's kind of amazing if you think about it.
They seem to have been able to manage, but we don't know because there's so many unknowns. Like, take for instance,
we know who's tested positive and who hasn't.
Yeah, but at the same time, we'll still hear, well, someone who tested positive is now negative. Someone who tested negative is now positive.
It's true.
We just don't know. Take Stephon Gilmore talking with Mahomes at the end of Kansas City. All up in his face.
He was right there.
All up in his face.
They had an intimate conversation, those two.
Right. Yeah. Look, at the end of the show, if I go up to you and say, hey, Christian, man, this was fun, this was great, and somehow we forget to put on our mask and stand 6 feet apart, and then lo and behold, Monday morning, you find out Leroy has corona.
Mm-hmm.
You're out. Christian, you're gone for 2 weeks.
Right.
So how is it that we saw that live on TV, and we're just like, well, yeah, his test came back negative, so I guess he's fine. We just don't know. I would just rather just be on the side of, like, safety than just being like, well, the tests that don't come back positive or negative, or like, you know, like the tests we can't trust all the time, we're going to believe them. That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. Are you familiar with Dinnergate? You know what Dinnergate is?
Yeah, I heard about this.
About
yeah.
Newton and Gilmore, yeah, and now yeah, yeah. Mrs. Gilmore has joined the fray as well to say that Dinnergate actually never happened, which actually makes Dinnergate even bigger. Now there's been a denial that Dinnergate even happened.
Oh,
so
man.
We'll get into all of that in just a second. But first, let's just take a quick call. 617-779-0985. John is in the car. Hi, John.
Yeah. Hi, guys. How are you? Listen, I'm very interested in your views on the bubble. And I think in theory it works. But, you know, if you look at the major collegiate programs in the country right now, they are basically those college campuses. Varsity football players are essentially in a bubble environment, and yet whether it's LSU or Alabama, I mean, they're all having the same problems. So I don't think the bubble is going to work, even if you put one into effect.
Yeah, John, they're not, though. College campuses aren't like what I think we're proposing. We're talking about thanks for the call. We're talking about renting out the hotels next to these facilities where these professional athletes are, mm-hmm. not a bunch of college kids all running around a college campus with other college kids who may or may not be on the team mm-hmm. and who may or may not have gone to the bar last night or gone to a frat party or something like that and got coronavirus. I mean, that's different. That's a different situation. And I think that, yeah, you're going to keep seeing that in college football, and that's yeah. a big problem because unlike the NFL, at least it's employees and they have to sign something that says, yeah, we agree to do this.
Right.
Colleges have to protect their kids.
Yep.
They have to protect their students. Like, I understand student athletes and they don't even go to class and whatever, but they're still students. They're still the responsibility. They have an obligation to these kids and to their families to look after them, and they're not really doing it. I mean, it's not, you know, like, I think that's almost even worse than what's happening with the NFL.
Mm.
And you're seeing it, you know. We saw Nick Saban in Alabama. I guess they're playing tonight.
Right.
Going to put Saban in a bubble, have him rolling around on the sideline.
Right, and that's another example. You Nick know? Saban, up positive, and then a few days later, well, it's negative.
It's true.
Really?
I think what we're seeing is that these quick turn results, these immediate results, can be really hit and miss.
Right.
A lot of false positives, a lot of false negatives. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Speaking of things that may or may not be false, we'll get into Dinnergate with Leroy next.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
I happen to believe, I was told that in the New England area over the weekend that Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore were spotted having dinner together on Friday night. So, and I was aware of that over the weekend. So to hear that he tested positive, I got to be honest, is not overly surprising to me. You know, if you're at a dinner table with somebody who's got the virus, you know, there's a chance I would think that you're going to get the virus. And so that's what we're dealing with this morning. We're dealing with, I think it's a crisis.
That was Schefter earlier this week on a Philadelphia radio station, 95.7 The Fan, I think it is, something like that. Mm. Should probably know because they may be a Beasley station. But anyway, I'm not in Philadelphia that often. I don't know what they're talking about down there with their spray cheese and all that other stuff. Spray cheese and their body hair. I don't know what they're talking about in Philadelphia. All I know is this. Schefter was on the air there, and he let it out of the bag that he heard under good authority, enough that he doubled down on it, that Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore had a little dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Had a little, just two gentlemen having a meal together. Nothing wrong or weird about that, I don't think, except that it may have been what gave Stephon Gilmore COVID. Now, what we know about this timeline-wise, just to sort of reset here, is that Friday, Newton and Gilmore allegedly had dinner. After that is when I assume Newton found out that he had tested positive.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday, Sunday, however many days went by, we found out about Newton. And then later in the week, we found out about Gilmore. And then we found out retroactively that those two had been together. So the question is, number one, did the Patriots know that those two were together? Because
mm-hmm.
if they did and they put Gilmore on that plane anyway, mm-hmm. that's not good. And it's also, I think, a violation of something. Like if you know someone's been around someone who tested positive, you have to put them on the COVID reserve list. It's not just for people who test positive themselves. It's for people who are in contact with someone else who did. Mm-hmm. And if they had dinner together, then yeah, that counts for me. I think it should count for everybody. So Schefter saying he heard that those two had dinner together. Then, on the other side, we have Stephon Gilmore's wife, Gabrielle Gilmore, who says that none of that even happened. By the way, I saw a story about this, and I think it was in the Herald. There's some real juice here. Giselle's gone.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of have a void for Patriots spouse right now, don't we? I don't
kind
see
of,
why
yeah.
Gabby Gilmore can't slide right into that void.
Okay,
you know.
Okay.
Because now, Giselle, I mean, obviously, Giselle's a superstar.
Yeah.
You know, this international sensation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
There's some other similarities there, though.
There are some other similarities there, indeed. And Gabrielle Goh, lovely, lovely young lady. And, you know, she's starting to build a brand for herself because she went on Twitter and denied that this dinner even happened. Mm. I think she denied that the dinner even happened. She said there was no dinner out.
Yep.
No dinner out. Didn't say there was no dinner, just no dinner out. So maybe they had dinner in.
Uh-huh.
Maybe something else happened. I don't know. Schefter said that Newton and Gilmore had dinner Friday night. Don't know where they ate, but they had dinner together Friday night. Gabrielle Gilmore said, there was no dinner out. I'm going to help you so you guys stop reporting false news.
Ooh.
Which is very nice of her to do that, by the way. You know, very big of her to help us here in the media. We do have problems with false news sometimes.
Yes.
She said, I've seen it circulating a couple times, and now I'm annoyed, LOL. Okay. Adam Schefter went to the station uptown there and said that he's not certain whether the dinner happened in public or in one of Gilmore's or Newton's homes. However, the initial report on 97.5 The Fanatic said the two players were spotted having dinner together, which means that someone saw him.
Yep.
Unless it was Schefter out in the bushes in front of Cam Newton's house with binoculars, I can't imagine how someone would have spotted them if they were in their home. Uh-huh. So I'd imagine that with that whole thing there was that they were out, which means that maybe Schefter was doubling back a little bit. You know, he said they were out. Now he's saying, I don't know where they were. If they were spotted out on Friday night, then they clearly weren't at their home.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is it there, Schefter? Where do you fall on all this, Leroy? What do you think happened here?
This one's tough, and I'm going to explain why.
Okay.
Number one, I appreciate Stephon Gilmore's wife stepping up because that's what she's supposed to do. I'm supposed to do the same thing for mine. Christian, you're supposed to do that for your wife. Have their back no matter what.
Right.
The problem I have is
even if you're lying on
Twitter. Even if you're lying. My problem is Adam Schefter has been high quality, top flight, when it comes to information.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the last time he has ever been wrong. And now all of a sudden, I'm supposed to believe he's wrong? I got to go with Schefter. I got to go with him.
I know.
I think he actually does have a source that did see them out. And if he is wrong, then Schefter's slipping.
Yeah.
He's slipping.
Yeah.
But he's been 100 forever. So I got to go with him.
I'm kind of with you. And a lot of people were like, well, that settles it. You heard from Stephon Gilmore's wife. What else do you need to hear? It's like, yeah, but I heard the other thing from Adam Schefter.
Right.
And Adam Schefter's batting 1,000. I never heard of Stephon Gilmore's wife before. What right. news has she broken in the past
right.
that I can go back and look at and say, oh, yeah, well, clearly she knows. Now, she's going to know because she's Stephon Gilmore's wife. She probably knows where he is and what he's doing. But she also probably has a little bit of an incentive to maybe bend the truth a little bit yeah. for his favor to make it seem like, you know, he wasn't out doing something he shouldn't have been doing.
Right.
Which I don't think the Patriots are getting punished for this. I certainly don't think Gilmore's going to either. But in the court of public opinion, I could see why you'd want to come out and say, hey, he didn't do anything wrong. He wasn't out there being careless and dining out with no mask or whatever it is.
Right.
Which, by the way, lots of people are doing. You know, yeah. I understand it's the football, it's the NFL, and you don't want to screw up the league and everything else. But we all know what's going on in the city. We're going to pretend like these restaurants aren't open, their people aren't sitting inside and eating. I mean, they are.
Right. At the end of the day, Gilmore, you got a real one over there because she's holding you down regardless. And I like that. That's the similarity between her and Giselle. Giselle held Brady down.
Right.
And it made people upset, and she spoke her mind and everything. But I like that in a woman. Hold your man down.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But with that being said, I think he was out and had dinner.
Probably was. Going to have a press conference.
Oh, man.
My husband cannot cook the steak and eat the steak at the same time.
Well, you know what? Let me pause on that real quick because I'm surprised if they were out, how come no pictures have shown up?
That's a great question.
Anything like that? Because I did actually see them out at dinner one time.
Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore?
No, actually, Gilmore and his, I believe that she was his fiance. They could have been married by that time. And the amount of people, grown behind people, that kept stepping to him and asking for a photo and stuff was ridiculous.
And while he's at dinner,
at dinner, I felt bad. Like, I was 2 seconds away from stepping in, like, y'all leave my man alone. Like, leave them alone. Let them eat. And she was just sitting on the side, and everyone was just ignoring her. I felt bad.
About to do some pro bono bodyguard work.
Right. You know, hey, times are tough. I might have to step into that role, but still.
Sir, step away from Mr. Gilmore.
Yes, leave them alone. Let them eat there, enjoy their steak.
They're like, who are you?
Right. But at the end of the day, with this situation, the current situation, no one has pictures.
Right.
That is a little suspect, so.
It's very weird.
I don't know.
We had people call in the night show and say that they saw Cam Newton walking around the Seaport with no mask on. And if Cam Newton was walking around the Seaport with the hair and he's 6'7" walking around, he's probably got some ridiculous outfit on because he always does. No one's taking a picture of him.
Right.
No one's going to say, oh, my God, it's Cam Newton. Take a picture. Right. We're all photojournalists now walking around 24-7, and no one took his picture down in the Seaport. I don't believe that.
With Cam, I think, is probably rooted in, for some strange reason, a lot of people don't like him. Even though he's successful so far being a Patriot, and people will just put out stuff just to kind of, you know, make him look bad.
I think he's been received pretty well in New England so far.
There's still people. They can't stand him. They don't like him. Simply because, let's say, he dresses the way he does. There are people who legit do not like him.
Tom Brady dressed pretty garishly sometimes, too, you know? Tom Brady had some looks.
I was about to say, which look was your hair-wise?
Hair-wise, yes. I think the Bieber years were pretty good. I liked it when he had that big Bieber helmet. You know, he took the helmet off and there was still a helmet on. I like those years with Tom
Baby,
Brady.
Baby, what was the worst?
I think that was the worst.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got to be right up there. In terms of his pregame looks, there were a couple of sweaters that, like, had those little connecting, what do you call those things?
Sweaters with connecting?
Like, you know how, like, on a peacoat?
Buttons?
No, they're not buttons. They're like little triangles, you know what I mean? And they connect through a loop. What do you call those things?
I don't know, man. That's too fancy
they're
for
like
me.
They're like little elephant tusks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.